It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
He is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this.
I would rather play with 10 people rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Jay Bish.
Acknowledge me.
We've gotten to that time of the year where football is non-existent, but for me, that's fine because I'm a baseball guy and I thoroughly enjoy baseball season. Spring training is here. And so, you know, we will continue to make do. It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by DBM Roofing, and by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available. Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate, 912-326-5337. Give DBM a like on Facebook or check them out online, dbmroofing.com. So some big news that has kind of trickled out of South Georgia. If you remember Jordan Triplett, right? So standout at Frederica Academy in the GISA. Remember, Jordan Triplett became a starter for the Frederica Academy Knights as a freshman and had a stellar career for the Knights. So much so that Triplett, by the end of everything, when he had graduated and everything had amassed, Jordan Triplett had become the all-time leading rusher in the state of Georgia, the entire state. Jordan Triplett was, of course, then recruited. He committed to go to Air Force once he left Frederica Academy. Jordan Triplett recently announced that he will be transferring from Air Force to Cornell University. So this is kind of a big deal. So let's just break this down. So the leading rusher in the state of Georgia commits to go to Air Force, as we said. While he was at Air Force, I don't believe that Triplett, of course, remember now, he's a freshman on the depth chart, and so he wasn't getting a lot of time at running back, wasn't getting on the field. Jordan Triplett has aspirations of playing in the NFL. Jordan Triplett felt that in order for him to accomplish that, he needed to be on the field more than what he was on the field at Air Force. So he has transferred to Cornell, and so he'll be playing there. And from all indications, he's going to be on the field right away. He may even be the number one back for Cornell. So this is a transfer for Jordan Triplett that is attempting to accomplish getting him on the field and being seen by NFL scouts. For the Big Red, it's going to be a great opportunity for Jordan Triplett to do just that, showcase what he's capable of doing. There are some things here, though, that strike me a little bit. Number one, first off, the fact that he's transferring to Cornell is an Ivy League school. So, you know, the kid's got something between the ears if he's capable of getting into an Ivy League school. There are a couple of things here about this transfer. With getting to the NFL being Jordan Triplett's primary purpose, I just wonder how an NFL scout, let's say Jordan Triplett has a monster career with Cornell. I'm going to come back to that term, career with Cornell, in a minute. So let's just say he has a monster career with Cornell. As an NFL executive, I think the thing that you would have to look at if you're considering drafting Jordan Triplett when his college playing career is over, if he stays at Cornell, that's another big part of this, is the level of competition that he played against at Cornell. It's a bunch of Ivy League kids. It's not the SEC. It's not the Big Ten. It's not the cream of the crop when it comes to football talent. I would expect similar results with him at Cornell than what we saw at Frederica. Jordan Triplett at Frederica played against a lot of kids that he was a lot better than. That's just the truth. He was a lot better than that than they were. And, you know, and he took full well advantage of that very talented kid. And, you know, again, you know, took that ball literally and ran with it and became the leading rusher all time in the state of Georgia. I feel like this is a similar path for him from the success he had at Frederica that would probably be duplicated at Cornell. He's going to get on the field. He's going to probably be one of the best two or three players on the field while he's there. He's going to do well. The thing is, again, with an NFL executive looking at possibly drafting him, you are a little concerned about the level of competition if you're considering drafting Jordan Triplett into the NFL when his playing career in college is over. So I do think this is a double-edged sword for me. I do think that this is a good move for him as far as being able to get on the field to showcase what he can do. I also think there are some concerns about the level of competition that he's going to be playing against if you're an NFL executive. Good move. You get to be seen. Got some concerns about who you're playing against. Playing in the Ivy League and playing in the NFL are two very, very, very different things. Playing in the Ivy League and playing in the SEC, two very, very different things. Playing in the Ivy League and playing in the Big 12, very, very different thing. So that is a concern. Now, if I am Jordan Triplett, and I'm sure that him and his camp are aware of, you know, that dilemma or perception of what NFL scouts may have. If I'm him, I'm going to go to Cornell, and I'm going to do everything I can to be successful. And I'm going to hope that I have a good year, which I think he will. And I'm going to try to be on the field as much as I can, which I think he will. When my season ends at Cornell, if I've had a monster year, my goal is to get to the NFL, then I don't think that staying at Cornell for Jordan Triplett, if he's capable of dominating the Ivy League, I don't think staying there helps him if he has a really, really good year at Cornell. In the landscape of college football as it is right now, you know, he can transfer as many times as he needs to accomplish whatever it is he's trying to accomplish. So you transfer from Air Force, you go to Cornell, you have a really good year where you're not getting on the field at Air Force, you have a really good year at Cornell, and you have some other schools, some schools that are in some major conferences take a look at you and possibly transfer to more of a football type school. And it doesn't have to be Power Four. You know, I think a good move, you know, would be a Conference USA or the MAC or something like that. And, you know, if an SEC school or Big 12 school or Big 10 school comes calling, absolutely, you know, you certainly take that into account and consider it. So for Jordan Triplett, it was a little bit of a surprise to hear that he had transferred. But again, you know, his goal is to play in the NFL. So that is the objective. He didn't feel like he was going to be able to accomplish that at Air Force. And so he's moved on to Cornell. So now the deal becomes for him, have a monster year at Cornell and have some more football-type programs take a look at him and possibly transfer in there and then get there and produce and show that he can play at that level to alleviate an NFL scout's, well, who did he play against, right? That's going to be the knock on him as far as being considered to go to the NFL. That's the answer for him. If that's the objective to get to the NFL, you have a monster year at Cornell and you transfer somewhere else. Now, if the objective is not to play in the NFL and the objective is to, you know, go to Cornell and play out your career, I hadn't heard too many people that hadn't figured it out with a degree from Cornell University.
Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. Some big news out of St. Simon's Island. Former Frederick Academy Knights standout Jordan Triplett has transferred to Cornell University. Triplett had originally committed to Air Force out of high school. During his time with the Falcons, Triplett was listed on the depth chart as the third running back and did not see much time on the field. Triplett is the all-time leading rusher in the state of Georgia. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelined you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.
Of course, anybody that in the state of Georgia that is a somewhat of a basketball fan, college basketball fan, has taken note that the Georgia Bulldogs did knock off the Florida Gators 88-83 this past week. And it got me thinking, when I first saw that win, I knew that Georgia was, I don't want to say mid-SEC, but they're having a decent year. I think they're 13th in the SEC currently. And so it got me thinking, you know, like I kind of want to dig into this. And, you know, is that win good enough to at least get them on the bubble? Maybe not right this second be like they're in the tournament or, you know, where they're one of the first teams in or whatever. But I started thinking, like, does the win against Florida, who is ranked inside the top five, does that at least put Georgia on the bubble? A 17-11 record for the Bulldogs, as that would stand, that would probably not be good enough. Started kind of digging into some things for them. And by the way, in that Florida game, 21 points for Silas Demery, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists. They had a 51-35 halftime lead, a 16-point lead at the half, and then, you know, had to hold on to dear life there at the end, 88-83 to win. But it doesn't matter how they won. It just matters that they won, and it gives them a win over a top five team. So where does that kind of put Georgia in the grand scheme of what the tournament may be looking for and what their resume looks like? By the way, this segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by DBM Roofing, and by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. The expert team at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery treats athletes of all ages and abilities. Let our board-certified orthopedic surgeons and specialists get you back in the game quickly and safely. Call Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery at 912-466-7340 or visit sghs.org. That's 912-466-7340. So I started looking at Georgia's got 11 losses. So I started saying, okay, well, who are these losses to? Is this something that the committee, when they're picking their field, can look at and say, okay, yes, they've got the loss, but whatever, whatever, whatever. And so I started looking at these losses, and Marquette, 80-69 loss to Marquette, pretty decent team. A 63-51 loss to Ole Miss, who is having a pretty good season. And then after that, things start getting dicey for me if I'm on the board. 74-56 loss to Tennessee. Tennessee's inside the top 10. A 70-68 loss to Auburn. Two-point loss, sure. Now, I think there's some value in that. Auburn, the number one team in the country, but that's they had consecutive losses to Tennessee and then to Auburn, and then they played Arkansas after that, and they lost by 3 points to Arkansas, and that's not a good loss. 68-65, which was their third straight loss. And then earlier in the year, they played Florida the first time, and they lost by 30, 89-59 to the Gators for their fourth consecutive loss. And that's, and there are two stretches of that. And then they lose to Alabama. They snap the four-game losing streak. Then they lose to Alabama, again, inside the top 10, 90-69. They got blown out. And then here we go. Another string of four losses for the Georgia Bulldogs. Mississippi State, not a good loss, 76-75 by 1 point. Texas A&M, who is ranked, 69-53. Missouri, 87-74. And then they lose the second game to number one Auburn, 82-70. A game that, you know, wasn't as close as the first game. And that gave them a second stretch where they lost four straight games. And I think that's really hurtful to their chances. Two stretches of four straight losses when the committee is looking at things, you know. So then I thought, okay, well, is there enough on the other side? What are their quality wins? Are there enough quality wins to maybe for the committee say, maybe. And so the quality wins, there are a few, but there are few and far between for this Georgia Bulldogs squad. Kentucky, they beat St. John's earlier in the year, and Florida, the 88-83 win. So when I'm looking at the quality amount of wins, and I'm thinking, okay, like, you know, what are they? Are there enough? Those three wins are the ones that jump off the page to me: Kentucky, Florida, and St. John's. It's only three of them compared to two four-game losing streaks, a loss to Arkansas. It's just – I just don't think that there's going to be enough for the Georgia Bulldogs to be able to get in. And so, again, I started this segment by saying maybe not get in, but is the win against Florida enough to get them on the bubble? Going to come back to those two four-game losing streaks, the loss to Arkansas, a loss to Mississippi State. It was a great win for Georgia. I don't know if it's enough to even get them on the bubble. 17-11, 13th in the SEC. I think at this point, Georgia's got to win out, and then they're going to have to make a really deep run in the tournament. I mean, like, make the championship game in the SEC. And I don't think it's any secret that the SEC this year in college basketball is loaded. There are a lot of good teams at the top of the conference, and there are several teams that are vying for a number one seed come tournament time. I think it's going to be a really tough go for Georgia to get to the championship game, and I feel like at this point that's kind of what they have to do. I think they've got to win out, and they've got to at least get to the SEC championship game to have any realistic shot of being put on the bubble. If they get to the SEC championship game, that might be enough to put them in. It certainly does put them on the bubble.
No matter the temperature outside, the AC guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Trane dealer and Trane comfort specialists. High quality work, trained professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys.
For hometown, honest, friendly service from a name you can trust, come on in to Bruce Kennedy Tire. For almost 20 years, Bruce Kennedy and his family have been taking care of our friends and neighbors. 2928 Norwich Street, across from Dollar General. Tires, alignments, minor mechanic, and AC work. 912-264-6578. Pop on in. We'd love to see you. Monday through Thursday, 7 to 4:30, and Friday, 7 to 3:30. Bruce Kennedy Tire, a name you can trust.
Spring is in the air, and so is engagement season. Let the I do's begin, and let the folks at Cunningham Jewelers get you there. So if you're thinking what I'm thinking, then it's time to get on down to Cunningham Jewelers. They will help you find that perfect, breathtaking ring, no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in beautiful, historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. Conveniently located just down from the hospital at 3010 Altama, accepts most insurances. Hassle-free transfers and online transfers. Free delivery to St. Simons and Mainland Brunswick. Average in-store wait times under 5 minutes. Experience the difference for yourself. GoldenIslesPharmacy.com. 912-266-8140. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
Baseball season, spring training, there is no better time. Some nostalgia, right? Watching spring training games on TBS as a kid and seeing all the newcomers and the guys that you don't really know and trying to learn about them as they try to make their way onto the roster. It is something that makes me very, very happy. And, of course, being a Braves fan, I'm going to keep up with what's going on. The games may not be as available in spring training as what they once were. But, you know, we have online stuff. I've got some concerns about the Braves pitching staff. This really stems from from Ian Anderson. A couple days ago, Ian Anderson got his first spring training start, and it raised some eyebrows. Remember, the Braves did nothing. They have done nothing to this point to help bring in someone to stabilize the back end of their rotation. Charlie Morton moved on. Max Fried sold the Yankees a bill of goods. And so they really needed some back end help. And I'm not even 100% sold on the front end. 35-year-old Chris Sale, yeah, he won a Cy Young. He's 35 years old. Ronaldo Lopez had a breakout year as a starter, but he never really got out of the fifth inning consistently. And we had never seen him have that type of success as a starter, so I've got some question marks with him. And then Spencer Schwellenbach, of course, who had that breakout rookie campaign last year, is he capable of duplicating that? Those are the three guys the Braves are starting the year with at the top of their rotation. Yes, they're going to get Spencer Strider back, but again, question marks about him too. What's his arm strength going to be like? What's the velocity going to be? Is he going to be back completely 100% after the Tommy John surgery? Got some concerns. I was a big believer in Ian Anderson. I sat here on this show last year toward the end of last season when Ian Anderson was pitching well in AAA, and I was saying, hey, you know, Anthopoulos, you got to get Ian Anderson up to the major league level to see what he can do moving forward into next season. You got to know. And that never happened. They never called him up. You know, it could have been that nip and tuck trying to get in the playoffs, ended up getting in as a wild card. It, you know, needed the last day of the season to get in. So, you know, that might have been a reason why he didn't get the call up, just to have a throwaway game just to take a look at him, because they didn't have a throwaway game to do it with. But he did pitch well down the stretch in Gwinnett, and he looked a lot better than what he had before he got injured. They give him the ball in his first spring training start, and he throws 37 pitches in an inning and two-thirds. He really labored. Those 37 pitches that he threw in an inning and two-thirds, he only threw 17 strikes of the 37 pitches. So command looks like an issue early on, at least right now, for Ian Anderson. His line isn't terrible, but it doesn't really reflect how poorly he pitched. His line came out an inning and two-thirds, one hit, one earned run, one strikeout. Now, he did have three walks. That's alarming, but I just said, you know, when you throw 37 pitches and you're only throwing 17 strikes of those, you're going to walk some people, and he did that. He walked three. The thing that really jumps out at me and causes me to have an incredible amount of concern, because it's only one start. You hear that all the time. I mean, even Glavine and Maddux back in the Braves' heyday, you know, their first or second starts, you know, they were never stellar, and you didn't worry about them. You knew they'd be fine. They weren't hurt. They weren't coming off of an injury or whatever. The thing that scares me about Ian Anderson is the velocity that he was consistently at. Never got clocked over 93 miles an hour and consistently was 92. He was touching 93 on a few pitches, but mostly was clocked at 92 on the fastball. Now, it's possible that he's, you know, trying to work his arm back into shape and he's not just out there, you know, just letting it go. Maybe. But for his best interest, I can't imagine that's the case, because he is vying to try to win one of the rotation spots for the back end, either the four or the five. The Braves are hoping that he's going to be that guy. And so I can't imagine that he's going into the first start saying, you know, I'm just going to try to take it easy and not throw as hard as I can or not do my very best, because there's not a locked up spot for him. I don't know, even if what happens to Ian Anderson if he doesn't make the club? Do they option him back to Gwinnett? Does he demand a trade? The Braves just outright release him? I mean, I don't know, but I don't think it's a situation that Ian Anderson wants to put himself in. So he really needed every time that he was given the ball to showcase something. And granted, it's the first start. The Braves aren't going to really ask him to pitch more than, you know, a couple innings in his first start. He did get into the second, an inning and two-thirds, but couldn't get out. 37 pitches, 17 strikes, no command, and you're throwing 92 to 93 miles an hour on your fastball. Extremely concerning if you're the Atlanta Braves, considering that you have done nothing to solidify. You have no insurance policy on the back end of your rotation. Now, the good news is, AJ, the Braves, that same day that Anderson pitched, or actually the day after, AJ Smith-Shawver also threw a start. Two innings, two hits, three strikeouts, and no walks. So an impressive outing. Again, his first outing in spring training, a lot more impressive than Ian Anderson's outing in spring training. AJ Smith-Shawver had control. The velocity was where it should be. You know, the Braves are looking at a situation where AJ Smith-Shawver is in the running to make one of those two final rotation spots. And I think he did himself a lot of favors by the way he pitched, coupled with the way that Ian Anderson pitched. I think right now, if you're Atlanta, you're thinking, okay, based on that first start, those first two innings, in Ian Anderson's case, the first inning and two-thirds, AJ Smith-Shawver got the upper hand, right? He's the guy that probably is, you got to feel like has got the best chance of making the rotation right now. You've still got a long way to go. But for me, the scary part of it is, for Ian Anderson, is the velocity. He cannot pitch at the major league level with the stuff that he has. He cannot pitch at the major league level without a fastball that's consistently 96 miles an hour. In order for him to be successful, he has got to consistently touch 96 with the fastball. If he can't do that, he's going to be in trouble. If he can't do that, he's probably not going to make the team. So I'm hoping that whatever was going on with him was a flash in the pan, a one-time thing. But then I read another article where they were talking about the velocity, the 92, 93 miles an hour that he had in that start. And they said that he had thrown a batting practice session a few days prior to that. And when he geared it up, it was the same. It was 92, 93 miles an hour. So that is concerning because now you've got some sample size. You've got two different, I'm not going to say outings because a batting practice session is not an outing. You're just throwing batting practice, but he's throwing batting practice at 92, 93. That's fine. But then when you get on the mound, you're throwing batting practice speed. Very concerning for the Atlanta Braves and what they're going to do moving forward with their rotation. Is there an option out there for Alex Anthopoulos in the event that Ian Anderson does not work out? Hurston Waldrop has been mentioned. Grant Holmes has been mentioned. Now, outside of that, there's been all sorts of rumors with the Braves tied to Dylan Cease from San Diego, who is trying to unload his contract. And it's not a favorable one, which is why the Braves have not pulled the trigger on that deal. They have not been able to come to terms with the Padres because they are talking. They have not been able to come to terms with the Padres on, you know, salary. They're wanting the Padres to pick up a good portion of that. I don't think the Padres really want to because they're trying, you know, it's a salary dump for them. They're just trying to move this contract off their books. So you've heard the Braves' name tied to Dylan Cease. Grant Holmes internally is an option. Hurston Waldrop internally is an option. A.J. Smith-Shawver took the ball. He pitched great. And, you know, Ian Anderson has got to get his stuff together. An inning in two-thirds, and you throw 37 pitches, and only 17 of those are strikes. That's alarming. That is alarming at the Major League Baseball. That's not even 50%. That's like 48% of your pitches that you threw strikes for. If that's consistent, he might not even make the end of spring training. They may just go ahead and cut him or release him or whatever if they feel like that the velocity's not there. I'm a big believer in this guy. A huge part of the 2021 World Series team, and then he got hurt. Velocity wasn't there when he got hurt. Had the Tommy John surgery, spent all sorts of time rehabbing, pitched well in Gwinnett. Now he's going to get an opportunity to pitch his way into the Braves rotation, and the first step of that did not go very well. Didn't go his way. Hope he gets it together.
At Jack's Tire and Brake, we understand the economy is tough. That's why we will always give a fair and honest price. No games, no surprises, just honest folks you know and trust. Whether it's tires, brakes, AC suspension, or any minor mechanic work, Jack's Tire and Brake will treat you right. So come on into Jack's Tire and Brake at 485 Warren Mason Road, off of 341 behind Racetrack and KFC, or give us a call 912-265-8674 and find us on Facebook.
Your hometown and independent pharmacy in Darien is Jets Pharmacy in the Bluestein Shopping Center. Jets Pharmacy accepts all insurances, drive-through service, and delivers to Darien and surrounding areas, including Brunswick. Immunizations, competitive cash prices, and even med synchronization. So get on over to your friendly neighbors at Jets Pharmacy or give them a call at 912-437-3784. Jets Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy.
Whether you're heading to the big game or having friends over, you're going to need to get your party right. And M&B Liquors has everything you need with a large selection. And if you can't find it, the friendly M&B staff will get it for you. Be sure to ask about our keg selection, too. Locally family-owned and operated since 1985. Off exit 29 on I-95. 61 Candler Drive. Call 912-265-2567. And look for specials on Facebook. M&B Liquors.
Hey, sports fans, in case you missed it, Max Barbecue now has two locations to serve you. Max's new location, right next to Grandy's off Cypress Mill Road in Brunswick, has all of the same favorites you'll find out at the Sterling location across from Jane Macon Light, Monday through Saturday. Both locations open for lunch, and come on over for dinner at the Sterling location. Max's Barbecue. Give them a like on Facebook.
Back on the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Now joining me from Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System, Dr. Bo Sasser. Dr. Sasser, thank you for taking the time.
Hey, good to be here, Jason.
It seems like that, you know, time flies. We have vacated the football season, and now spring training for baseball is here. And I think the, around the parts where we live in, all eyeballs are on one knee of that of Ronald Acuna.
Agreed.
So let's catch everybody up. Ronald Acuna came out and gave an Instagram post and said that he was somewhere between 90 and 95% ready to come back. He has resumed most activities. He is swinging in the cages, taking IBP. He's taking fly balls. He's doing, I guess, pretty strenuous running. However, the one thing that I read that he's not doing is simulating stolen bases to this point. So let's start there. You're the expert here. 90-95%. If you're there, would you have any concerns that the Braves doctors aren't comfortable with him doing that yet?
It would all depend on probably his quad function. He might say he's 90 to 95%, but if he still has some residual weakness of the quads, which can take a while. Yeah, I mean, he's basically 11 months out, so he should be good to go. Once you get past that 9-month period of time, you're definitely turning the corner.
Okay.
But it can take up to 18 months to get that quad strength back. And so probably the trainers, the doctors, they know how strong that operative leg is compared to the other side. And if there is a little discrepancy, is a little weakness, the last thing they want him to do is slide into the base and hit it funny. That might cause a setback.
So last year, or the last time that he tore his ACL, the other knee, if you remember, he was back in about 9 or 10 months, but he wasn't quite right. He stepped slow, whatever sports term you want to use there. And so here the Braves are entering spring training and a month away from, month and some change away from the regular season starting. And they've already said he's not going to be on the opening day roster. He's not going to be on the roster probably for the first month of the season. Do you think that there might be some internal talks of, hey, last time, he rushed back and he wasn't quite ready, so let's take our time here? Or do you think that, he's just not ready?
Well, I think so. And, I did spend some time on the Chiefs, and I know I might get some boos about that, but we don't have to have any more Chiefs and rough jokes or Taylor Swift memes anymore.
You and I were in the same suite.
Right.
I was rooting for them.
Sure. But one thing that I really got out of that is when an elite athlete, and you see it with these college guys and even some of these high school kids, but when an elite athlete says that they're not ready, they're not straight, they're not 100% yet. I mean, they could be at 99% and everything looks great, but it might not be 100%. So when he says I'm 90 to 95% ready, I think he's still got 5 to 10% to go, really and truly. And I think probably the trainers and the doctors see that too. Like at that elite level with what that guy can do, I mean, the difference between a stolen base and an out for him is one step. Mm. Is truly one step. I mean, maybe that turn around first base and or that leadoff. And so that one step might be a big difference. And that might for him be that 97% ready versus 99% ready. And so I think it's going to be a little longer.
I'm going to ask you a technical question here. Because, the easy question to ask you is, what should the Braves do? How should they handle him? And, maybe I'll ask you that in a minute. But the technical question is, you as a physician, as a specialist, orthopedic specialist,
as we mentioned, as I mentioned earlier, last year or the last time he tore the ACL, he came back, wasn't quite the same guy. If you're his doctor, right, what are you looking for as far as, okay, like when he comes back?
Sure.
Okay, this is what I'm looking for as a determination of Ronald Acuña Jr. being Ronald Acuña Jr. or Ronald Acuña Jr. being maybe minus a couple.
Right. And I don't know if there's going to be any analytics there. I don't think there's going to be a metric that you can pin on and say, oh, he's a little slow, you know, on his base running. He's a touch weak on his quad. It's going to be Ronald Acuña coming up going, I'm ready. Like, you push him so much, he does not want to work out anymore, and he says, I'm ready.
Okay.
And I think that's because one of the issues you have when you sprain your ankle, when you tear your ACL, is your ability to know where your leg is in space. And that's where a lot of people feel like after they do these things, and a lot of those athletes are just a step slow. Something's just a little bit off. Well, if they're not completely confident in putting that foot down for that push off, that's that step slow. And once they feel that true signal between their knee and their brain that says, I'm fine, I'm straight, then that's when he's going to go back. And I think that has to do with less the metrics and more a lot of discussions between Acuña and the trainer and the doctor.
Again, joining us, Dr. Bo Sasser from Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. Okay, so another question I want to ask you. You mentioned about his quad. When you're out and your rehab, that you gotta have time for that knee to heal. And so while that knee's healing, you're not doing anything. And then you come back and you start rehabbing and doing whatever it is you got to do there. So am I wrong in saying, sure, yeah, he's got to rehab the knee, but you and I have had conversations about sometimes when you've injured a certain part, it kind of gives way to other things. Is there any concern there? And what would you be concerned about?
Sure. And one thing you would worry about is his other knee. His other knee, hip maybe, but really because he's had an issue on the other side, you want to make sure that you're not putting too much stress. The neat thing about professional sports is they have a gazillion dollars. And so I will bet you I will bet you he was on a treadmill, non-weighted, working in the pool and doing a lot of things to make sure he didn't get that atrophy of that quad. And he's probably still doing a lot of those things. And that's because the last thing you want to do, it's a lot of that rehab with ACLs is preventative. We want to first get that motion back, but you want to get to that quad and get it stimulated as soon as possible.
Dr. Sasser, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it.
This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by DBM Roofing, and by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Baseball is back. Couldn't be happier. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. AAA baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to Jax, that's J-A-X, jaxshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball, affordable family fun.
Not only does Gentleman and Lady Outfitters carry the top brands that have made them a staple here in the Golden Isles, they also specialize in prom season. It's always important to look your best. Head on over to the Tuxedo Rental Experts at Gentleman and Lady Outfitters. For over 25 years, Gentleman and Lady Outfitters have been the leader in tuxedo rentals. 600 Sea Island Road in the Harris Teeter Shopping Center on St. Simons. Call 912-634-1521.
Trying to find great family fun, but don't know where to look? Here is your answer. The Strike Zone at the end of the Spur in Brunswick offers the family-friendly environment you've been looking for. Bowling, arcade, and blacklight mini golf. The Strike Zone has something for the entire family. Call or go online and reserve for your next event or birthday party. 912-265-6600. TGIStrikeZone.com.
Spring is in the air, and so is engagement season. Let the I do's begin, and let the folks at Cunningham Jewelers get you there. So if you're thinking what I'm thinking, then it's time to get on down to Cunningham Jewelers. They will help you find that perfect, breathtaking ring, no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in beautiful, historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Not only does Gentleman and Lady Outfitters carry the top brands that have made them a staple here in the Golden Isles, they also specialize in prom season. It's always important to look your best. Head on over to the tuxedo rental experts at Gentleman and Lady Outfitters. For over 25 years, Gentleman and Lady Outfitters have been the leader in tuxedo rentals. 600 Sea Island Road in the Harris Teeter Shopping Center on St. Simons. Call 912-634-1521.
We're heading into that time of the year where we're getting close to March Madness. We're almost to tournament time, conference tournament time in college basketball. And so I've been talking to you recently about the teams that I feel like have a viable chance at landing number one seeds. There are four of those in the NCAA March Madness tournament. So, you know, we're going to start off with the easiest, Auburn, who has been, you know, just dominant, 25-2 on the season. They have three regular season games remaining. They are at Kentucky, 17th-ranked Kentucky. They are at 12th-ranked Texas A&M. So a couple of back-to-back tough games for the Tigers. And then, of course, they will close with that big matchup with Alabama, who's ranked 6th in the country. So the remaining schedule for Auburn is pretty tough. 17 Kentucky, 12 Texas A&M, and 6 Alabama. They will get Alabama at home, but they do have to go to Kentucky and Texas A&M, both ranked in the SEC, who has just been, that conference has been a monster all year long. I feel pretty good about Auburn's chances. Even if they drop one of those three games, you got to figure they're probably going to make a pretty decent run in the SEC. They'll probably get pretty deep. They've had a very dominant year. I feel really comfortable even if they drop one of those games, regardless of how they drop it, as long as they make a decent run in the conference tournament, I think they're all but guaranteed a number one seed here. Now, if they drop all three of these games and then a short run in the tournament, like they, you know, the brakes just fall off, then, you know, maybe we can have a conversation about that. That's not the case. But in the here and now, based on what we've seen from the Auburn Tigers, number one seed, pretty evident. Duke is ranked 2nd in the country. They're 24-3. Their remaining schedule is pretty soft. Well, soft's not a good word. It's favorable. They've got Florida State at home. Florida State is 16-12 on the season. Wake Forest at home, who's probably on the bubble, 19-9 on the year. And then North Carolina, they'll have to go to Chapel Hill to play that game. North Carolina's got an outside chance too. They're 18-11. You know, Duke's resume is pretty decent. The ACC hasn't been as tough as, you know, traditionally it is. The Blue Devils with only 3 losses, 24 wins, you know, and the remaining schedule, I got to feel like Duke will be favored in every single one of those games. And I feel pretty good about them winning out, getting the ACC tournament. They are the best team in the ACC. I feel pretty comfortable based on what we've seen from the Blue Devils that they will be a pretty good lock for number one seed as well. Now we get to Florida, And here's where things start getting a little interesting is for the final two. Again, Auburn and Duke, I feel pretty good about. But then when we get to the last two, I felt like Florida was in a really good position. And then they go and lose that game to Georgia, 88-83. The Gators are 24-3 on the season. Their remaining schedule, at home, they've got Texas A&M, who again is ranked 12th in the country. They go on the road to number 6, Alabama, and then they'll finish at home against Ole Miss, who is 19-9, again, on the bubble. So a pretty tough end-of-the-year schedule for the Gators coming off of that loss to Georgia. I think from what we've seen from the Gators, they'll probably rally. They'll probably rebound. I wouldn't be stunned if they won out and won all of those games. And Alabama, I think, is, you know, you're going to Tuscaloosa to play that game. You know, that's probably the toughest remaining game they have. Coin flip. You can coin flip that game. I think Florida's got a pretty good chance, especially if they beat Alabama. And you could see some flip-flop. If Alabama beats them, you know, with that loss to Georgia, you know, Alabama could leapfrog them and get one of those last two seeds. And I've said this before. I don't feel like the committee is going to give three number one seeds to one conference. I think the most they're going to do is two. So I think in reality, the SEC, as dominant as they are, as strong as the conference has been, they're probably only going to get two number one seeds. Right now, the most favorable of those is definitely Auburn and probably Florida. And then if Alabama knocks off Florida, now we've got a conversation. At number four in the country is Houston. Their remaining schedule is against Cincinnati at home. Cincinnati's 17-11. They need a lot of help to get in. They're at home against Kansas, 19-9. Kansas probably on the bubble. And then they will head to the road to finish their year at Baylor, who is 16-12. And at all accounts, Baylor really would have to win their conference tournament to get in to the dance. So Houston, a pretty favorable schedule. The Kansas game is going to be pretty tough. I like their chances against Cincinnati, and I like their chances against Baylor. But the thing that hurts Houston is they don't have as strong as resume just based on who they've played as Auburn and Florida and Duke and Tennessee and Alabama. Their resume is not as good. So they've really got to win these games to be able to hold on to what I think right now they are in line for a number one seed. But I think it's shaky. I think it's pretty iffy for Houston. If they drop one of those last few games, probably not. And even if they don't have a good showing in their conference tournament, probably not, because their strength of schedule just isn't there for Houston. At number five, Tennessee, 22-5. Tennessee's got a big game coming up. They'll be at home against number 6, Alabama. So we're going to talk about Alabama's in their final few games here in a second. But Tennessee will be at home against Alabama. They'll go on the road to Ole Miss, and they'll finish up with South Carolina. South Carolina, of course, under 500 at 11-17. For Tennessee to grab one of those final spots, they're going to have some help. They're going to have Alabama take a couple of losses, I think, and they're going to have Florida drop a game as well to be able to grab that second number one seed from the SEC. But even if they don't get a number one seed, they're a lock for a two seed for sure. Outside chance at a number one seed, a certain lock for a two seed are the Volunteers. And then ranked sixth, you've got the Alabama Crimson Tide, 22-5, same record as Tennessee. But the remaining schedule they have, the last three games, are brutal. They'll, as I just told you, they'll be on the road at number 5 Tennessee. Then they'll be at home against number 3 Florida. And then they finish on the road at number 1 Auburn. For Alabama to get one of those last two, to get one of those number one seeds, they've probably got to win all three of those games. I think that's got to be the case. They've got to win all three of those games, get to maybe the semifinals in the SEC tournament, and then I do think that they would grab one of those number one seeds that are remaining. The chances of them beating Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn back to back to back are very slim, to say the least. So in this case, if you're Alabama, you got to kind of look at it realistically. You got to say to yourselves, we got to win two of those three games to give ourselves a real chance and not to fall out of a number two seed, which again, like Tennessee, I think Alabama's a lock for a two seed. Even if they lose a couple of those games, if they lose two of three have a good showing in the SEC tournament, I still think they're a two seed. The wheels would have to fall off for Alabama not to be a two seed. They do have a chance at a number one. If they win all three of those games, at number five Tennessee, at home against three Florida, and then turn around and beat number one Auburn at their place, to me, there's no argument that Tennessee has got to get one of the one seeds, especially if they have a good run in the SEC tournament. So, you know, it just kind of depends. One thing I will tell you, Auburn and Duke, in my opinion, are locks. They are locks for number one seeds. And then the last two seeds, you basically got Florida, you've got Houston, you've got Tennessee, and you've got Alabama all fighting for another number one seed, for those final two number one seeds. So you got to figure out what's going to happen there. You know, remains to be seen. My prediction, I'm going to say Auburn definitely, Duke definitely. I'm going to say Alabama gets one of the other number one seeds. I think Florida falls out down to a number two. And then I think Houston will do just enough to hold on to the one seed that will probably be given to them. So I think your number one seeds will be Auburn, Duke, Alabama, and I think the final seed will be Houston.
This there has been the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. Some big news out of St. Simon's Island. Former Frederica Academy Knights standout Jordan Triplett has transferred to Cornell University. Triplett had originally committed to Air Force out of high school. During his time with the Falcons, Triplett was listed on the depth chart as the third running back and did not see much time on the field. Triplett is the all-time leading rusher in the state of Georgia. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.